that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, again, a beautiful persona that we are discussing, a universal persona that we are discussing, this persona which has taught us so many life lessons. It has taught us how to live life the right way, the pure way, has taught us the things which will destroy our life and which will destroy our hereafter. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, this rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, this is the persona which Allah has ordained to be the role model. If you want to follow the footsteps of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, then follow the footsteps of Imam Ali alayhi salam. One of the things that we find that is really beautiful in the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is His Eminence's presence of heart when it came to prayers, when it came to the salah. Right now, we kind of hear this all the time, that we should focus in our prayers, we should have presence of heart in our prayers, we should be focused and pay attention in our prayers. This is something that we hear a lot, and many have said many different things about this. We bring forth a very humble example of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that His Eminence, his presence of heart was such that when there was an arrow stuck in Imam Ali alayhi salam's calf or his leg, during the wartime, a piece of it had remained in his calf. So half of it had broken and just half of it was in his leg. And so the people asked the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, how should they remove it? And so His Eminence, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he said that when Ali is in prayers, then remove it. And so when Imam Ali alayhi salam was in his prayers, in his salah, the people came and they pulled this arrow that was broken out of the calf of Imam Ali. And Imam Ali did not make a sound. He did not, scream or yell or cry. Matter of fact, he continued his prayers as if nothing had happened. And this, dear friends, is the presence of heart that we are, trying to achieve. Sure, we can never achieve this level of presence of heart, but the bar has been set, and the least we can do is kind of try to go in that direction, even though we won't be able to reach that ultimate bar that His Eminence, has set. But most definitely, we should at least try to have a presence of heart and have focus and attention when it comes to our prayers, because if we do, it will increase the value of those prayers, and it will most definitely increase the benefit of those prayers, and it will be accepted, as many of the traditions of ours say. A very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
Oh Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء
And now we invite you to listen to Fayyaz Ja'far.
How many times within our communities in reality, when we see someone sitting next to us, do we say, Salaamu Alaikum, how's it going, how are you? Not to make small talk, but because you actually care about the person who's sitting next to you, even if you never met him or her before. Instead of creating cliques, instead of creating like divisions between people. Making a difference in the world, in reality, starts with you giving out of your own self. Who is the personality in humanity who is loved the most? No individual in the world is loved more than Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Muslims love Jesus, Christians love Jesus, anyone who ever heard an anecdote about Jesus, they love Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why do people love him so much? Did Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam rule a big piece of land? Was he the king or the president of a nation? No. Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam had nobody amongst his followers except for three groups of people. He had women, he had slaves, and he had the poor. The three most isolated groups in human history are the followers of Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet people love him so much because he made his very best effort toward making small differences in the community that he was living in. In the anecdote of Ashura, who do we love the most? Who's the one that everyone wants to argue over who's going to sponsor that majlis? Who wants to distribute food in his name? Abul Fadl Abbas. Why? Did Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam allow for that water to reach the children or no? No, but he made an attempt to do so. We love people who love to give. We love people who try to make a difference. And when we come toward understanding what it means toward being a person, being an individual, who is making their very best effort toward making communal, socio-political changes within society, it starts with one giving out of their own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in chapter 4, verse 135, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما. And in reality, the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, in his letter toward Malik al-Ashtar, quotes this particular verse of the Quran, in which he tells Malik that, O Malik, when you go out into the world, know that you have a responsibility to uphold justice. You have certain standards. You have certain values. You have to make your very best effort because within yourself you have potential to make difference in the world that you're living in. But make sure that when you're making that difference, make sure that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really, really easy to take a position, to do something, to go and attend a protest, to go and write something on social media, or even to go and write an op-ed or an article in your local newspaper. But if you're doing it so that people come and they like and they retweet your post, or because you want people to tell you about how great of a writer, how great of a speaker you are, then at the end of the day, we're not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he then tells Malik al-Ashtar, he says, "Oh Malik, and if you want people to be generous to you, then be generous to the people. And if you want people to be kind to you, then be kind to the people. And if you want people to be favorable to you, then be favorable to the people." And then toward the end of that famous letter, he states, "And O Malik, know that people are of two types, either your brothers in faith, or your equals in humanity." Imam Ali in this letter toward Malik al-Ashtar in reality gives a brief insight in terms of how we should live with people in society and community at every stage within our lives. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, as we know by that famous Christian writer, is called the Sawt al-Adalat al-Insaniya, the voice of human justice, a man who would stand up even for his own enemies. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, as we know, what makes him so unique is that on that same day of Ashura, after every single one of his family members had been killed, and he reaches the river Euphrates, and he is about to take water, the Imam was incredibly thirsty. Yet he looks at his horse and says, "Oh horse, you take water before me." But that same Hussein alayhi salam, who was standing behind the tent on the day of Ashura, as some narrators they report, that when some of the family members, they came towards Sayyidul Shuhada, and they said, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, we see you behind the tent, it's the middle of the battlefield, and you're crying right now. Why?" And he says, "Because I'm afraid that those on the opposing army, they're going to enter into hell because they want to shed my blood." This is Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wasalam, making an effort to change the world because they care about people.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
The Israeli aggression against the people of Palestine has a long and tumultuous history, marked by genocide, occupation, and countless human rights violations. The Palestinian struggle to liberate their country stands as one of the most enduring and contentious resistance movements in modern history. At its heart lies the issue of occupation, with Israel's presence in Palestinian territories being a source of deep-seated grievances, violence, and international concern. The roots of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories can be traced back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, with the rise of the Zionist movements advocating for the establishment of a so-called Jewish homeland in historical Palestine. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, issued by the British government, lent support to these aspirations, laying the groundwork for the eventual creation of Israel in 1948. The events surrounding the creation of Israel in 1948, known as the Nakba, or the Catastrophe, marked a pivotal moment in the history of the region. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced from their homes and became refugees as a result of the conflict between Israeli and Arab forces. In 1967, Israel launched a strike against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, in what became known as the Six-Day War. Supported by its Western allies, including the United States and Britain, the Israeli regime occupied the West Bank, including East Al-Quds, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, and the Golan Heights. This marked the beginning of Israel's military occupation of Palestinian territories, which continues to this day. Palestinians tried all diplomatic and legal ways to end the Israeli occupation over the past seven decades. In the early 1990s, efforts were made to negotiate a peaceful resolution to allow Palestinians to have their own state. Known as the Oslo Accord, it never put an end to the Israeli aggression, as the regime continued settlement expansion in the occupied territories. There were other deals, including Camp David, which never resulted in peace and only emboldened Israel in its atrocities against Palestinians. Throughout its occupation of Palestinian territories, Israel has committed all kinds of atrocities against Palestinians, including massacres and non-stop human rights abuses, such as land confiscation, home demolitions, arbitrary arrests, and excessive use of force against Palestinian civilians. The Palestinian resistance to the Israeli occupation has taken various forms. It started from peaceful protests to civil disobedience. But with major world powers' unconditional support for Israel, under whose influence even Arab countries started normalizing ties with the regime, Palestinians found no alternative to armed resistance to achieve their rights. Palestinians decided to take up arms and fight for the liberation of their territory, with groups such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad gaining prominence in the popular struggle.
What do you think? Do you advise me to continue as a slave? It's a right which has been granted for us who are living under occupation. That the time the diplomacy and politics fail, it's a right of those people who are living under occupation to defend themselves with all means. The victory has to be snatched, especially when you are facing such extremist, murderous, criminal leadership of your enemy.
On October 7, 2023, the Palestinian resistance fighters launched their biggest operation yet, a massive and deadly response to over 70 years of Israeli atrocities against them. Thousands of rockets fired from Gaza rained down on the occupied territories. The projectiles reached as far north as Tel Aviv and as far east as Al-Quds. Shortly after, Palestinian fighters stormed towns in the south, launching deadly attacks and taking more than 200 captives, including military personnel. The 10-hour Al-Aqsa flood operation dealt a humiliating blow to Israel's much-touted military and intelligence system. Shortly after the operation, the Israeli military launched a massive strike on the besieged Gaza Strip that has killed more than 30,000 people, most of them women and children, so far. The Israeli regime, encouraged by the U.S. and Western allies' support, outlined three major objectives for this onslaught on Gaza.
I have three goals. One goal is to defeat Hamas, utterly defeat and destroy Hamas. The second is to bring back our hostages. And the third is to ensure that we don't have a similar threat in the future from Gaza, and that what happens in Gaza is good for Israel, good for Palestinians, good for the Middle East. And to do that, we need to demilitarize Gaza and de-radicalize Gaza. We cannot have it mean for the foreseeable future Israeli overriding military responsibility.
The Israeli regime has not only failed to achieve the goals, but also was forced to negotiate with Hamas on a ceasefire. The failure to achieve these goals has not only exposed the limitations of Israel's military prowess, but has also highlighted the resilience and the determination of Palestinian resistance forces.
There is no doubt that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood represented a success for the resistance movement, a success in carrying out a large-scale operation without the enemy being able to take action preemptively. This operation succeeded in seizing the entire Gaza positions within just hours. This is undoubtedly a great achievement, but here's the question. Was there any expectation for the enemy's reaction? Certainly. It was expected that there would be a reaction, but it is the nature of the occupation. It kills you, seizes your land, arrests you, and imprisons you. For example, in the West Bank in 2022, before the operations, the number of martyrs was about 500. The number of wounded people who were taken to hospitals exceeded 3,000. We are talking about thousands of prisoners. Under this occupation for 75 years, you have two choices. Either you do nothing and it continues to kill you, capture you, and seize your land, or you resist and the enemy will continue the aggression. But the message will be conveyed that the Palestinian people are still adhering to their right to resist, that the enemy is paying a price for the occupation.
Operation Al-Aqsa Flood marked a significant turning point for the Palestinian people, showcasing the harsh reality of Israeli occupation to the world. This operation not only highlighted the plight of Palestinians, but also indicated the power of Palestinian resistance in a coastal territory which has been under siege for some 17 years. Prior to this operation, Arab states were moving towards normalizing ties with Israel, overshadowing the Palestinian cause. However, the Gaza war that ensued, the October 7th operation, has shifted global attention back to the long-standing struggle of Palestinians for freedom over the past seven decades. It's been a stark reminder of the brutality of the Israeli occupation. Despite Israel's military might and reputation, the war in Gaza has been perceived as a humiliating defeat for Israel on multiple fronts. Public opinion worldwide has increasingly turned against Israel as images of civilian casualties and destruction in Gaza have circulated widely, shedding light on the brutality by Israeli forces which left no safe zone in Gaza, hitting even hospitals and UN refugee shelters. The October 7th operation stands as a testament to the power of Palestinian resistance, showcasing how a small and determined movement can withstand the might of the Israeli army, backed by the U.S. and other Western countries. This operation highlighted the unwavering resilience of the Palestinian people and emphasized that resistance is not only a means of survival, but also a powerful tool in securing their right to self-determination. The ability of Palestinian fighters to hold their ground against one of the most advanced armies in the world has not only defied expectations, but also exposed the limitations of military might in the face of steadfast resistance. The refusal to surrender in the face of overwhelming odds sends a powerful message that the Palestinian people will not be silenced or oppressed, but will continue to fight for their rights and their dignity.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 151st sermon in Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam is discussing about certain challenges that leadership in a community might face and how people should be prepared for those challenges. They should take steps, and the leader should especially be able to foresee these challenges, these fitnas as we call, to be able to pave the way for people to face them, to prepare them, to vaccinate them, so to say, so that this community is able to challenge, to face those challenges in the best way and overcome them. This is the general theme that is discussed in some of the phrases that we have been discussing till now. Inshallah, we shall take this a step further.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam clearly in Nahjul Balagha tells the people to take steps. Watathabbatu, for example, he says, be firm. Wahdharu, he warns them, be careful. Of what things? He says that be careful of the deviations of fitna. When those hidden undertones of fitna start to show up, they start to manifest themselves into the society. So he says that now be careful about this from the start. Prepare yourselves and vaccinate yourselves. Read, study, be aware of what's happening in your environment around you, and be prepared for those things that will happen. Now, one of the very important things that would help a person prepare is definitely any leader, wherever they are, however small their leadership role is that they need to be able to have that connection with the verses of the Quran, with the narrations of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his holy progeny. Because keeping in touch with this not only will give him insight, but will also give him solace and peace in the challenges that he is facing as a leader, as a manager. So these are extremely important. And a person should realize that as a leader, as a manager, the success that he is achieving in any level of his work is because of that attention that he has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah's, you can say, tawfiq, and Allah's paving the way and supporting people that they are able to achieve the goals and aims and objectives that they have, and they can plan well. So this is just a general reminder for all people who are trying to take up leadership positions.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam in sermon number 185 says, Ala fatawakka'u ma yakunu min idbari umurikum. He says that, O people, expect what could happen or what normally happens in terms of the turning away of your affairs. Idbari umurikum. So there is something called iqbalu umurikum, there is something called idbaru umurikum. Idbaru umurikum means everything doesn't go the way you want it to go. It turns away, it's going away in the wrong direction. The things are not working out in your way. They are working out in the opposite way. You see, they are turning away from you. Now Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to tell us that there are, trying to prepare the society, that expect this to happen. There may be things you do, there may be certain influences that occur that cause the affairs not to go in the proper manner that you expect. And this is very important for a leader and a manager to keep in mind and to remind the people and themselves that look, this world and this universe, it works with certain principles, and don't expect therefore that always everything is done the way you think you want it to happen. So yes, you may plan, you may do certain things, but you may not be careful of some other things that would be a reason why this issue does not go ahead. Now, what are those issues that might cause, that may cause an affair and your affairs not to go in the direction that you want? This is a discussion that Imam Ali alayhi salam in the later phrases of this sermon explains. And he says that, for example, if you perform a certain act or you do not do a certain act, it may lead to, for example, expecting the opposite results of what you've planned. Now, inshallah, we shall discuss about this in the coming sessions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Mawlavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, ulama and scholars all across the world of Islam during the history of Islam. For today's discussion, I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alright, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another outstanding figure from Afghanistan. He was, it's better to say, the founder or the first member and the president head of Afghanistan Islamic Wahda Party. He is no one but the late Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari. Sheikh Rouhani, give us some details about the early life and biography of Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari.
Yes, Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari was born in 1326 and got martyred in 1373. Of course, he was among the great Shiite scholars who founded the party of Wahdat Islam, Hizb Wahdat Islami, which is a kind of political party which united the Shiite different kind of parties into one Hizb or one party.
Yes.
That's why he was among the leaders and founders of this political party in Afghanistan. And of course, he studied in Hauza Ilmiya of Qom, the Islamic Seminary of Qom, and he took part into the into the revolutionary activities in Iran as well as he was the wakil and the representative of Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi. And of course, they moved to Kabul to resist against the leftist government and party that was ruling at that time on Afghanistan. They were supported by Soviet Union.
Yes.
That's why they started resistance against Soviet Union. They called Mujahideen.
Yes.
And of course, finally, on the 1373, he was martyred by the Taliban government at that time. And of course, later the president of Afghanistan gave the title of Shahid-e Wahdat-e Milli, or yes, the martyr of national unity.
That's all right, okay.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Besides his religious life, we know that he had, for example, the ijaza, or the permission from the late Imam Khomeini, in order to gather the wujuhat, the monies that become on that time in Mazar Sharif and the regions around. So I think religiously and scholarly speaking, he was fully authentic, but politically he felt this commitment to get back to his country, Afghanistan, and struggle over there against communism and the Soviet Union. So Sheikh Fadai, I think he was very much after a kind of resistance power, and the resistance group or resistance ideology in the region. I could sum some of the footage, the videos and the photos of Abdul Ali Mazari and Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi, the late Lebanese Hezbollah political party. So can we say that he, alongside with the other scholars in Afghanistan, in Lebanon, in Iraq and Iran, thereafter establishing a kind of Islamic party, I mean the Shiite party?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, when I think about Abdul Ali Mazari, he reminds me of the book from our Supreme Leader, Insanity with Panjah Saleh, 250-year-old man. So what is the relationship between this figure and that book? You know, in that book, which is a combination of the different lectures of Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Khamenei talked about the history of our imams. And to sum it up, he wants to say that all of our imams, like one person, acted in order to have the power and have Islamic government, so they can show real Islam. Because yes, without power, without government, we cannot have real Islam in our society. You know, if we want to give the government to taghuts all the time, you know, we had a lot of scholars that they were silent in front of taghut government. That is wrong. Mm-hmm. The real scholars, Islamic scholars, they never remained silent in front of taghut. As our imams tried a lot in order to gain power and establish Islamic government, we can see that by this pattern, our real Islamic leader, if they're even after imams, for example, our fuqaha or some activists and Muslim activists like Abdul Ali Mazari, they want to follow this pattern of Ahlul Bayt, that real Islam and Shia should gain the power. We shouldn't be silent in front of the government of Taghut. You know, he had a good relationship with the Iranian revolutionists and Lebanese revolutionists. For example, in Iran, he studied in Qom, had a good relationship with Imam,
yes,
and even he went to Lebanon and had some sessions and relation with connection with Sayyid Abbas Musavi, as you,
yes,
mentioned. So, you know, these actions means that we together, whether from Afghanistan or Iran or,
yes,
from Lebanon,
yes,
we have to join together in order to stand in front of the government of Batil.
Yes.
He, I think he followed this pattern of Ahlul Bayt. And I think for his capacity, he was successful.
Yes,
yes, he was martyred,
yes,
because he didn't have that potential in Afghanistan to,
yes,
have a revolution like Imam Khomeini in Iran.
Yes,
As the scholars before,
yes,
Imam Khomeini couldn't have this.
Yes.
but according to his capacity, he could have it. Why do I say that? Because, as you mentioned, he was called the martyr of national unity.
Yes.
It means that he was successful to gather people, Muslims, together,
yes,
in order to stand in front of the government of battle.
Yes, that's right. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من
He got martyred, Shaykh Rouhani, in Afghanistan. From one side, he was against the Communist Party led by the Soviet Union. From the other one, the radicals in Afghanistan were after power, so he again tried to, oppose them, struggle against them, and finally he was martyred by them. Can you give us more details about the story and his struggles, other political struggles in Afghanistan?
Yes, of course. He was at the same time a social activist as well, because one of the problems that we have in countries like Afghanistan is the discriminations that are leveled against minorities. You know, for example, the Shiite people in Afghanistan, since they are minority, in the history of this country, different kind of discriminations, oppressive kind of discriminations leveled against these people. That is why one of the objectives of his resistance was this, to bring back, this dignity or izza or, let's say, karama of the Shiite people in Afghanistan. So that's why from this perspective, some of the radical movements, Sunni radical movements, were opposed to him,
yes,
against him. That's why he got martyred, because of this, that he was very strongly and seriously trying to support Tashayyu in Afghanistan and the school of Ahlul Bayt in, mm-hmm, Afghanistan, and to help and support the followers of this school and, okay, these branches of Islam.
Yes.
That is why since resisting against this sort of discriminations that leveled against these people by the governments, that's why there were some groups who were opposed to him. That's why he finally got martyred.
Is it true that first, for example, they signed an agreement? That's why, for example, they signed an agreement with the radical groups in Afghanistan, but then they violated this agreement and martyred?
Yeah, it is what is, uh-huh, written in the biography of this, okay, great Shaheed is that, yes.
Okay, that's all right. And still, this group of the, as we said, we called him the martyr of the national unity. Were there, for example, other Sunni groups who followed him as a Shiite figure or not?
And to, you know, there were sometimes there were Sunni Shia parties. They, yes, they were like, what we can say, they had some kind of coalition, what we can say,
yes,
gathering,
yes,
with each other. And they followed some kind of resistance together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you had sometimes, for example, some Sunni parties. They were also members of the unity that was established by this Shaheed and the other, let's say, leaders of the different political parties.
Yes.
But of course, but mainly his party was the Shiite party.
Okay. And it's still the Shiites in Afghanistan,
During the history of Afghanistan have been among the minority or the majority, Sheikh?
No, now still they are minority in Afghanistan. Yes, some 30% of the population of Afghanistan is Shia. Yes,
that's right. Okay, thank you very much. It was very kind of you. As we said, there was an agreement between the two. The radical groups, and I think based on akhlaqi method and principle, Shahid Mazari signed the agreement.
Yeah.
In order to give the weapons so that they might sit around the table and sign again an agreement on the national unity of Afghanistan. But unfortunately, on Isfand 22nd, 1373, according to the solar calendar, when he and the other members of his group of the Wahda party were taken to Kandahar, they were assassinated inside the helicopter.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Unfortunately, on the way by the radical groups over there. So many memorandums and letters and messages from different ulama of Iran and all across the Islamic lands were sent on his martyrdom. And he is still remembered as a shaheed of struggle or shaheed of muqawama and resistance in Afghanistan, the late Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. Thank you much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration on his life. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanah.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him? Mu'allim.
Black and white.
Recientemente, en El Salvador.
Recently, in El Salvador, a country in Central America which has 6.5 million inhabitants,
de los cuales un 30%.
Of which 30% are in absolute poverty and 70% live in informality. And a large part of its GDP is based on what is the contributions made by immigrants. General elections on the presidency and other levels of direction of the state have been held.
Presidenciales y también de otras. Niveles al Estado, a la dirección del Estado. En las presidenciales, Bukele.
In the presidential elections, Bukele has been elected by 82.6%. That is what the hegemonic press in general communicate around the world.
La prensa hegemónico, hegemónica y general tiró por el mundo. La verdad de que.
The truth is that this corresponds to 52% of the voters, of the people with the right to vote.
De los votantes, de las personas con derecho a voto.
48% abstained and did not participate.
No participó. Es decir, Bukele tiene aproximadamente.
That is to say, Bukele has approximately 80% of half of the Salvadorian electorate. That is the real result and not what is presented as a success in which the entire people turned to vote mostly for Bukele.
Que todo el pueblo se volcó a votar mayoritariamente por Bukele.
Bukele is a rather strange character.
En su tiempo,
in his time, it was said that he preferred the left a thousand times over the right. Today he meets the extreme right leaders in the world, and he himself is one of them. A few days ago, he was at the international meeting with Trump, with Bolsonaro, with Milei, with Duque, among others, to express his successful policy of eliminating gangs and developing El Salvador. A development that does not exist anywhere. Though Bukele has always made many promises. He has made promises, for example, to build four universities in his first mandate. He didn't build them. Now, at least, he made a promise to build a Bitcoin city. Such a city never existed. A high-speed train that never existed. But he did build the largest prison of all in Latin America.
De toda América Latina. Bukele, aprovechando el tema de
Bukele took advantage of the issue of gangs, which were born in the United States at a time when the country was in an internal war.
En una guerra interna, donde
where the forces of Farabundo Martí, National Liberation Front,
estaban tratando de
were trying to take power and build a new society, since the country practically did not exist. The repression of the state with the support of North American Marines was such that 10% of the Salvadorian population went to the United States. That is almost 500,000 people.
En ese momento,
at that time, El Salvador had a population of 4,900,000 people. The gangs were formed there, then the United States detained more than 5,000 and sent them back to El Salvador, to a place where young people had nothing to do but to join with these prophets who arrived to offer them some opportunity to survive. That is what Bukele has managed. Deception, repression, and he has taken advantage of the gang phenomenon created by the system itself. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Hoy, desde San Salvador, El Salvador, estamos con Walter.
Today, we're with Walter Rottles from Salvador, El Salvador, author, journalist, university professor, and manager of an independent media.
Autor también de libros como Ni Militar Ni Sacerdote.
Walter is also the author of books such as Neither a Soldier Nor a Priest, The Fate of Amoy, and Against the Power of Communication of the Excluded. He was the host of Venceremos, the official radio channel of the Farabundo Martí Front for National Liberation during the armed conflict. Walter, welcome to Black and White.
Walter Raudales a Negro y Blanco.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you from here in El Salvador to try to make sense of this very obscure reality on social media. Undoubtedly, there are many aspects that can only be clarified by those of us who actually live in El Salvador. Thank you very much and hello to you all.
Gracias a ti, Walter. Mira, desde...
Thank you, Walter. In our countries, for example in Chile and other countries, when we see the news of Latin America, they emphasize the great victory of Bukele and usually talk about the suppression of gangs and say that this has made the people very happy in general.
A las pandillas y que eso tiene a la población en general muy contenta. Eso es lo que se habla.
This is what they are talking about. Anyway, before you answer me, it's good to give you a little introduction about the time before 2018 or 2019 when Bukele came to power for his first term as president.
2019, ya cuando asume la primera presidencia Bukele.
What were the previous conditions? What allowed him to emerge as a political figure? We know that he changed the political position because everything tells us that at that time he was aligned with the Farabundo Martí Front.
Porque todo nos dice, cierto, que estaba ligado al Frente Farabundo Martí en su momento.
Bueno, lo que pasa es que no podemos dar por hecho eso.
Yes, we cannot assume this for certain. There are many facts and lies. So we need to specify these two things. In El Salvador, we have a situation similar to what Charles Dickens said in the book Two Cities. He says that we are